Welcome back to God Invention Radio, presented by Inventor's Digest. And now, here's your host, Brian Free.
Welcome back to God Invention Radio. We have Kevin Prince from Quick Patents. QuickPatents.com is his website. And he's a patent agent with some great information, great services for inventors. And one particular part of the invention process is actually the search. And actually, before you do a search, I have a question from Mary Jo from Houston. Do we have to ask you to sign an NDA before we disclose our idea to you?
Yeah, an NDA, that stands for a non-disclosure agreement. And I always think it's a good idea. It's a good habit to get into to have people sign those.
Even you? Not for you to sign.
Well, I'm happy to sign them, but technically you're still protected with me even if I don't sign a non-disclosure. Because I've taken an oath as a patent practitioner with the patent office to keep all of my clients' information a secret and not to use it myself. So with any patent attorney or patent agent, they have that oath in place. But, you know, I think it's a good idea to ask for a non-disclosure anyway.
Do they ask you, do you supply it, or do they have to supply it?
Well, I have it on my website. It's really easy to fill out, but I'm happy to look at other people's if they have their own.
Okay, great. All right, Kevin, let's get into what the utility patent is, a design patent, a non-provisional, provisional. We hear all these different things. Maybe you can help clear some of the air for us.
Yeah, and this is an area where there's a lot of confusion, and every day I'm on the phone with clients kind of explaining this, so it's a good thing to get out there. And
okay, let's do it.
There's two basic flavors, a utility patent and a design patent. And there's other types that I won't get into because they're not that important, but the utility patent generally protects how something works, or the theory of operation, if you will, and it's regardless of what the actual product looks like, whereas a design patent protects what the product looks like regardless of how it works. And those two types of patents are not mutually exclusive. I've gotten both types of patents on the same product, you know, where it makes sense to do that.
Okay.
Now, generally speaking, people consider the utility patent stronger because if you can get the utility patent through the patent office, it'll protect how something works, and it doesn't matter what it looks like. And that is generally considered stronger. And those utility patents take a lot more effort to prepare. There's a full write-up that goes into it. We talk about the materials that are used, how you put one together, how you use it, and we have very detailed drawings. And a full set of claims.
Okay.
Whereas with a design patent, really all you have there are the drawings. And there's very little write-up. And people are sometimes surprised. They're like, where's the rest of my patent? And I say, well, with a design patent, it's really all about the drawings. It's about what it looks like.
There's no claims. It's just that it's really the design.
Yeah, there's no big full set of claims. There is a claim, but the claim is always the same with every design patent.
Okay.
I claim the ornamental appearance of 4A, you know, whatever your device is, as illustrated.
Okay. So, Kevin, if I made a circle and I put two dots in it and I went for a design patent because I'm just saying this is, let's say it's the first time that it was ever gone through, and then there's somebody else that put two dots on the inside and then put two dots on the outside or maybe put an extra three or four dots in different areas – in the circle, is that protectable?
I get this question a lot, and
good.
It's hard for me to answer because it ultimately comes down to how good your case is in court.
Okay.
And so, speaking of dots, you're probably familiar with Crocs shoes.
Yeah.
Well, they just won a case, a design patent case, where there were a couple of Chinese importers that were bringing in sandals that were. They looked similar, but they weren't exactly the same. They had the holes in different spots, and the strap was different. But the judge felt that in that case that the ordinary consumer, the effect of looking at the offending products was the same as with the Crocs, and so they were able to prevail in that case.
Okay.
So, you know, design patents are not totally without teeth, but they are considered weaker because obviously there's a point at which you can, you know, you can get around. If you change the design enough, you can get around the design patent.
Okay, so there's utility patents, otherwise known as non-provisional patents. Okay, I think we skipped over provisional. If we can just touch on that.
Yeah, let's talk about that because utility patents come in two flavors.
Okay.
And you have the provisional and the non-provisional. And the provisional patent is I like to call it a reservation for a patent. It never gets examined at the patent office. Nothing happens when you file a provisional at the patent office. They look at it and then they file it because they're waiting for you to kind of cash in that reservation within the year. You have 1 year to file your non-provisional application after you file your provisional.
Okay, so you're saving the date, okay?
Yes.
And my question to you, because I get this a lot, is inventors just say, you know what, I'm going to file something myself real quick. It's just a quick thing I'm going to send in, and I'll just put patent pending on. But I feel personally that it's important to spend a little time and have it professionally done from the provisional side of it first, which will give you the right for the 1 year to have patent pending. But also, if you truly are going to use that filing date, you have to make sure that what you're putting in there is pertaining to what you want to do in a year from now.
Yeah, and, it has to do the job that the provisional is supposed to do, and that is to provide what's called an enabling disclosure. And what that means is if I give you the provisional patent application that I've written, and you're skilled at making these kinds of things, whatever we're talking about,
okay,
you can read my provisional and know how to make one. Okay, so if it does that, it does the job that it's supposed to. And
okay,
there are plenty of inventors who are capable of creating an enabling disclosure. And probably the best way to do that is with lots of photos and lots of drawings because, in patents, they say a picture paints 1,000 words. Well, in patents, it paints 2,000 words because you get a lot of information on drawings or photos.
Okay. So I just want to understand then that is it true then that what you put in the provisional can affect what you write for the future for the non-provisional or otherwise known as utility?
Yeah, because you want to make sure that the provisional, if you have to rely on that provisional date, you want to make sure that that provisional covers what it is you're ultimately wanting to protect with the non-provisional.
Okay, but there's still some changes I might want to make and modify. That's why I guess a lot of people don't take it as seriously with the information they put in, because there could be changes. But is it make sense to kind of keep it broad then?
Oh, that's the beauty of the provisional, actually, is that you can, the day that you think of something, you have a good idea and you just jot it down and you file your quick provisional, well, within maybe 3 months, you've got some new ideas. So file another provisional. They're $110 to file at the patent office. And so you can file three or four provisionals over the course of the year as your product gets better and better defined. And then you can reference all of those provisionals in your non-provisional that you file.
Okay.
So it's a great way of kind of showing the progress that you've made in the development. And that's one of the reasons you file a provisional in the first place is because you haven't figured out all the bells and whistles yet. You have the basic idea, but you haven't really finalized the design.
Good. Okay. I have a question from Billy from Jacksonville. How long do each one of them last?
Yeah, the good question. The design patent is 14 years from the date that it issues. Okay.
Okay. Yep.
And a utility patent, a non-provisional utility patent, is 20 years from the filing date.
20 years. What about copyrights?
Oh, copyrights are like 75 years, and I think they can even go to 125 years in certain situations. I don't do much with copyrights because they're so easy. I just tell people, go to copyrights.gov, fill out the form, pay the $35, and you've got a copyright.
Okay. I have another question. Sandra, she's asking if a domain name is a trademark.
That's a good question, and I like to think of a domain name as kind of a cheap, a poor man's trademark. A domain name can be important, especially the .com domain name. And I'll give you an example. My domain name, QuickPatents, .com, I have that domain. So in a way, I don't care about the trademark because if competitors start using that phrase, they'll be inadvertently driving, traffic to my website.
Right.
Now, I was not able to get a trademark on QuickPatents because the patent office or the trademark office said it was descriptive. And there are certain requirements that you have to have for trademarks. And one of them is that it cannot be descriptive of what you're trying to put the mark on, because then it wouldn't be fair to someone else. You know, if I got a trademark on the word cola for a soft drink, that wouldn't be fair to all the other people who are trying to sell cola under their brands.
Right.
So anyway, I ended up on the supplemental register, and I'll get to apply for it again in a couple of years. But I don't really care because I have the domain name. Now, the trademark will trump the domain name. In other words, if I have a trademark and someone registers the domain name with that same trademark, then it might take a court fight, but I should be able to wrestle that away from them.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, you know, the other thing about trademarks that's important, they're about $325 to file at the trademark office. Domain names are about $10.
Right.
So do the domain name first. If you can find an available domain name, grab it, and then work on the trademark.
All right. Well, that makes total sense. Excellent. Okay, we're coming up to the end of this segment. I'd just like to remind you that you can go on to InventorsDigest.com for great resources and information. And if you haven't already done so, go on the front of GotInvention.com, and you'll see on the bottom Inventors Digest banner. You click, actually, you'll see Quick Patents on there, too. But you can click on the Inventors Digest banner and subscribe to the magazine. It's the only magazine for inventors, and get a 30% discount. Okay, we have Kevin Prinz from Quick Patents on our show. We're done with segment two. We'll be back with segment three on Got Invention Radio on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. We'll be back in a few moments.
Love to read but just don't have the time? With Audible.com, you can catch up on reading simply by listening. Audible has the largest collection of digital audiobooks, over 85,000 titles in every genre. Listen to a bestseller on your iPhone, BlackBerry, Android smartphone, or one of 500 other compatible devices. Visit audible.com/WSRadio today and get a free audiobook when you try Audible free for 14 days. That's audible.com/WSRadio.
Besides the hard work of our incredible WS Radio staff that has decades of experience in the broadcast industry, one of the reasons WS Radio sounds so good is we use Orban technology. We are not alone. Over 50,000 professional broadcasters can't be wrong. From radio, TV, streaming to hardware and software, Orban has been supplying the broadcast industry for nearly 30 years. Great customer service and continued R&D separates Orban from the rest. Learn more at Orban.com.
Do your M2M devices rely on a cellular signal to transmit data? Do your customers rely on that data for processing transactions, asset tracking, managing product inventory, or fleet monitoring? If so, you probably have situations where poor cellular signal is the weak link in your communication. At Wilson Electronics, we provide signal-boosting solutions to work with your device in even the most challenging situations. Our signal boosters and antennas can give you peace of mind by delivering a stronger signal. For more information about Wilson Electronics cellular signal boosters, visit WilsonElectronics.com or call 1-866-839-9282.
Internet talk radio works. After all, you're listening to me now. WS Radio has led the industry as the worldwide leader, broadcasting 24/7 online since 2001. To celebrate our 10th anniversary, we are giving away a local WS radio station. Equipment, location, production, the whole shebang. No purchase necessary to enter. Grab your cell phone and text WS Win to 313131. That is WS Win to 313131. Offer ends January 15th, 2011.
Do you have an idea or an invention and not sure what to do next? Take the first step and get your copy of the book, You and Your Big Ideas by Brian Fried. From protecting your idea to developing it and bringing your product to market, this handy resource guide is a must-have for every inventor, innovator, and entrepreneur. This book is all about you and your big ideas and bringing them to life. Only $10.95. Order now and also receive your free product evaluation kit with the book. Call now.